Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great.
Hey, welcome to Rhonda's Lounge. You are listening to Artist of Houston podcast. This week, I'm going to do something sort of special or weird, however you want to look at it. I'm basically just talking to you out there. I went on a trip last week to Miami to the Figurative Art Convention and Expo, the FACE Conference, and it was extremely exciting, extremely enlightening. I was turned on to a lot of new ideas and concepts about art making, art philosophies, art selling, everything, marketing, practical things that we all need to know, and also a lot of things that I don't want to be self-depreciating, but it's a little over my head, a whole bunch of it, but it definitely, I think I got some new neurons last week. Let me just put it to you that way. It was a blast. And I am telling you, I was incredibly fatigued when I got back here. I mean, we went 7:30 to 11 o'clock at night. And this podcast is going to just be devoted to sort of a review of what that convention and meeting was like for me. And, you know, encourage people to produce other affairs like that, connected to it, or however you want to look at it. I did take a lot of notes. Within the Figurative Art Convention was the TRAC, which is the Representational Art Conference, which has taken place, I think, since 2012, every other year or something like that. I actually attended two of them, and it was very much geared toward academia. There were academic papers, breakout sessions. You know, you had to choose. You couldn't get to see everything, listen to all the discussions. Some of the topics pretty intriguing. So the TRAC conference was built into the FACE conference. So the FACE is produced by the Fine Art Connoisseur magazine guy, Mr. Eric Rhodes. He has done the plein air convention, which I would love to attend someday if I could ever learn how to plein air paint. I did just attend Galveston's Brushes by the Beach the other day, sponsored by W. Lee Gallery. I pretty much wasted my money because I got started painting really late. I couldn't decide on what I wanted to paint. Ended up going to Kempner Park, a beautiful venue space there, apparently with this awesome domed ceiling building. Anyway, just gorgeous. So I tried to paint it, but it ended up looking like a fun house, honest to God. So I didn't even bring it back to the gallery to participate in the show, but whatever. Wasted money. Someone will give me another $30, hopefully. I'll get it back. Anyway, the FACE conference is produced by Mr. Eric Rhodes, Plein Air Convention, Fine Art Connoisseur Magazine. The editor of Fine Art Connoisseur Magazine is Peter Trippi. He was there. I could listen to Peter Trippi talk all day. I'm not lying. It's just, first of all, animated, intriguing, conversationalist, extraordinaire. Vocabulary is, you know, out there. Just brilliant person. They were the people that kind of threw this thing together. There were about 400 attendees, not a slacker situation. It was at the Biltmore Hotel, excuse me, in Coral Gables, Florida, near Miami. The whole idea was to bring a very classical mindset to an area that is very modern. Even using the word avant-garde would be wrong in this situation, since there's a whole lot of discussion about nomenclature, whether we should talk about postmodern or, as Graydon Parrish teaches in New York, he is a Texan though, very interesting and phenomenal painter, has coined the term post-contemporary, which he actually thinks is outdated too. There was a lot of discussion about that, like what do you call a classically trained, highly skilled painter painting contemporary things today? And that's the big question for that type of painter, which I am in that category, I think. I'm not sure, I'm still, whatever. But the FACE conference, we would have breakfast from 7:38, and trust me, there was nothing left at 8 o'clock. Not even coffee. And you had to, then we would do homeroom, which was a giant ballroom. Just incredible beauty, painted ceilings, you know, three stories high or something, just amazing. We'd have homeroom, there was raffles, there was a lot of things to keep everybody like, yeah, I get to homeroom, gonna win some new brushes, you know. And obviously all the networking and the fun people that you get to meet, all painters and the artists out there from all over the world in this case. I think they did ask who was the attendee who came the farthest, and I believe it was maybe New Zealand or Ireland, I'm not sure. Either which way, off the continent of North America. So we would have homeroom, and then there would be demonstrations, and then there would maybe be, and then the track sessions would break out. I don't know what they were thinking, because the first track session they put in a really tiny room. People were overflowing, sitting on the floor. Very, very, very popular. I know that there are university level teachers that have to keep credentials and do presentations and write and make essays and whatnot, and that this is a venue for that. So that was a lot of the attendees. Obviously that's not my case, but I've seen a lot of demos. I love watching demos, but I think I can do better to listen to some people that have new ideas. So I will begin to critique some of the track sessions and some of the demos that I did attend. The first one was with, I actually did not mention Michael Pierce. He is the founder and coordinator for the track portion of the conference. He is a professor at California Lutheran and an extraordinary painter in his own right as well. He's another person that I could listen to talk all day long. He did some presentations himself, and I'll try to get into that. I'm talking fast because today is the Wham Show at the Winter Street Studios, Winter Holiday Art Market. It's gonna be going on all weekend. Hopefully I'll get this post up before tomorrow. And if you get to hear it, you can come out and buy really nice makers here. I just walked through and they're setting up. And I'm sure it's gonna get loud later, so I'm kinda trying to get through it. I also am a week out being home from the conference. Kinda had to settle down. I was so excited about this conference that I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I was just going through my notes and really it didn't make any sense at all. So I'm gonna be a little calmer and see if I can talk in complete sentences and concise thoughts. Let's just see. Anyway, the convention did open up with this man named Donald Cuspit. He gave a keynote address on the new objectivism. And Mr. Cuspit was extremely interesting. His bio, let me find it in this book. He's a brainiac from somewhere. Donald Cuspit, one of America's most distinguished art critics. He's a distinguished professor emeritus of art history and philosophy at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, and the senior critic at the New York Academy of Art. He has his doctorates in philosophy, University of Frankfurt and Art History, University of Michigan. He was editorial advisor for European Art. Editorial advisor for European Art from Art 1900 to the 1950s. And art criticism for the Encyclopedia Britannica, 16th edition, and wrote the entry on art criticism for it. He serves as a contributing editor for several art magazines and has published several books of poetry. He sat by me a few times, so we just chit-chatted. I just let him know that I did indeed enjoy his presentation. So I can't, at that point, I had zoomed in on an Uber, $49 later from Fort Lauderdale, Southwest. I have points, what can I tell you? I spent $11 on my ticket. And, you know, I was late and the conference was starting. So I actually didn't take notes during Mr. Cuspid's discussion. I can tell you he was talking about, he had a slideshow with a lot of references of some paintings today and Renaissance and 19th century paintings, drawing conclusions of, this is so wrong, but just the importance of what it means to be a painter in this genre today. I think, actually I'm gonna be incorrect in my reference, but yeah, I'm not, I think that was another speaker, so never mind. I do remember him talking about Jackson Pollock. Apparently he's an elderly man, and he actually knew a friend who knew Pollock, and it was that type of discussion where there were anecdotes that were very personal about people like Jackson Pollock. It wasn't favorable. Apparently he had some issues with his mother, and I think he said, don't we all? So we'll just go with that on that one. But truly cool, look him up, Donald Cuspid. Don't have names of the books that he's written. Then there was a panel discussion later with Daniel Graves, who is the founder and president, or whatever, he's the main dude at the Florence Academy of Art in Florence, Italy. There is a branch in New Jersey recently, a couple years old, stateside, and there is a branch in Sweden. I did attend the Texas Academy of Figurative Art in Fort Worth for a short, brief period. Ron Cheek is a graduate of Florence Academy, and there was another student who was a graduate of the Swedish branch, Robbie. Robbie. Oh my God. This is that kind of podcast, you guys. Just get back with me. And I'm sorry, Robbie Clemens, I think is his name. Phenomenal painter. Phenomenal. Teacher also in Fort Worth, if you're in the area. In case you didn't know, there is an atelier in Texas. It's just in Fort Worth. It's not in Houston. I would be a student if it were. But Daniel Grace is the dude there at the Florence Academy. Graydon Parrish, I mentioned. Also a Texan, but in New York. He's in Austin, but I don't think he teaches in Austin. Patricia Watwood, New Yorker. A phenomenal painter, love her, very kind, powerful work. She's progressive, I like that. She truly is a contemporary painter with a skill level of a classicist, just amazing. And articulate, quite articulate, unlike the speaker you're listening to. Anyway, they had a discussion. Peter Trippi moderated and was asking questions in the the subject matter was looking to the future. I was sitting there sort of like dumbstruck, having traveled and not knowing I was running so late, and did not take notes during that conversation, but it's awesome to listen to them talk. Just to have conversations back and forth and say, you know, what they think about different things. Peter Trippi is an fantastic moderator too, listening and developing questions, you know, based on what they answer, getting a little off script, totally interesting. So I did appreciate that little deal too. And then Eric Rhodes gave an introduction of scholarships and some words about a recipient whose name is Fina Mooney. So M-O-O-N-E-Y. Someone that we're going to all have to look forward to seeing in the future. She's beautiful. She's articulate as well. Young. 13 years old. 13 years old. Insanely in love with the classical genre of painting, working very hard at drawing and painting. She was with us. There was a studio set up in another ballroom where we were able to paint two nights, 6 to 11. It was crazy. There were wine bottles there, so, you know, there was a lot of painting going on, but there was a lot of fun. There were 10 models. Some were costumed, clothed, seated. The poses lasted from 2.5 hours to 5 hours, which translated to 10 hours. You were able to do the same pose. I was unfortunate to get in one of those short poses, so I only painted one night. The next night was another panel discussion that I didn't want to miss. And also what I did miss was David LaFell's demonstration and his apparent documentary that's going to be released about his life. David LaFell is a well-known painter, in case you don't know him. He's 88 years old and just, hey, I'm looking forward to being 88 now. Let me just tell you that. I can keep painting and then, you know, maybe I'll be a rock star like David LaFell. Who knows? His wife is also extraordinary painter, Sherry McGraw. She did a demo of a costumed figure with a pipe. I'm gonna put the photos on the website so you'll be able to see. She did that demo in 3 hours, you know, or less, something like that, talking and teaching the whole time, even though she did a lot of talking about getting the non-color. Like, that drove me insane. Like, what the beep is a non-color? Like, give it a name. But I get it. You know, it's an ethereal thing we always chase when we're painting. Like, especially with flesh and painting the light. Like, it's an ethereal journey. You maybe don't know all the words, you know? I get it. Anyway, she did that demo. These demo paintings were for sale during the thing. And her painting was $5,000. So, if anyone wants a nice painting, I wouldn't mind having it. I was in a room when it was made. So that makes it even more exciting. You know, you can get one, no problem. So, the other, later in the evening demo was by Max Ginsberg. Another elderly person. I think Max is 86. And this dude is like a firecracker. He's just ready to go. He's got a lot of ideas. He paints huge paintings, multi-figure paintings. He did give a discussion on multi-figure paintings, and he got cut short because they were very strict in the track sessions on keeping on time, allowing for questions and answers and that type of thing. But Max, he's another New Yorker, and you can look him up as well, Max Ginsberg. He has a lot of social commentary. His presentation on multi-figures did include all his process, how he gathered the subjects, how he painted a lot from life, a little from photographs. A lot of that was a discussion, and I think there's a consensus on that. You want to learn how to do portraits, figures, you want to paint realistic, you need to paint from life. You need to learn to paint from life. I am a strong component of that. Do I use photographs? Absolutely. It's completely cost prohibitive for me to have a model in the studio all the time that I want to work on a painting. And it's difficult. I get it. But you got to learn. You got to learn there. That's where you should start. I know Art League has sessions on Thursdays and Saturdays, 1 to 4. Watercolor Society has them on Wednesdays from 12 to 3 or whatever. And Archway Gallery has a session once a month. I've never been to that one, but I hear it's very good. I do miss the Artery. It used to be in the Midtown every Wednesday night. We miss that. And I'm always organizing sessions. If you're interested, you just get with me and we'll have one. I had a model group every Tuesday morning, 10 to 1. My other job was in really jacking with that, so I haven't done that lately, but it's possible to arrange it. So do learn from life. Go sketch. Get a long pose, not a gesture drawing. Study. Observe. Look. Do a lot of looking. Go sit in the park. Sit in the coffee house. I mean, it's really easy to draw someone on their phone. Trust me. The DMV, oh my God, fantastic. I got some great little watercolors done there. But just hone your skills, hone your craft. That's the way to do it. The closing remarks were by Eric Rhodes, Peter Trippi, and Michael Pierce. And I've mentioned those guys. That was awesome. So that night, little bar time, I invited my sister because we were on a golf course and she likes to play golf, but she couldn't get the tee time she wanted. It was not good for her, but I was booked. It became a conflict. But the next morning, again, we start early. Also the expo, Michael Harding paints Rosemary's Brushes, Blick Art Supplies, a framer from, I got a lot of good stuff, and they were giving away a lot of stuff. So every time you bought something, you got something. So this is another reason why I kind of save up to go to these things. Portrait Society meeting is in the spring. Plein Air meeting is in the spring. Those are good, other good groups. The reason I like this one so much, though, was because of the track session where you had these academic papers being presented. So that morning, I watched Sherry McGraw begin her painting, but I wanted to listen to Amanda Thies do her paper on something called the Da Vinci Initiative, Changing the Culture of Art and Education. Loved her, adorable, so nice. I'm going to get in touch with her because I want to become an ambassador for the Da Vinci Project, which pretty much includes going into schools teaching teachers how to do bar drawings and just promote art as a viable profession, convince parents and that type of thing. One of the things I'm just the messenger, but what she said was about a lot of art teachers had said to her was that you can't teach art, that it's so much ingrained in our society now that it's expression and some like fairy dust falls on you and you can draw, and everyone who knows how to draw in refined, highly rendered way knows that that's a bunch of malarkey. Like, you've got to work on it and you need those mentors and teachers to do it. So Amanda Thies is involved also with the Art Renewal Center. You can look them up online, Art Renewal Center. There's a big contest going on that you can enter. You are in this genre of painting, several different categories, magical realism, realism, still lifes, etc. Big prizes and extreme exposure. The Art Renewal Center has an accrediting body for certain ateliers and schools of art, pretty much guaranteeing that you, your child, whoever goes there, going to know how to paint and draw when they come out, which is another discussion. And I'm going to have some more classically trained artists on this program soon, and maybe we can have a more debate when they are here, when I'm not talking to myself. But I'm not talking to myself, I'm talking to you out there.
I love you.
There, see, somebody loves you. Anyway, Art Renewal Center, check that out as well. I missed the presentation by Saskia Eubanks. Saskia Eubanks, which was entitled Contrapposto and the Tectonics of Gender. William Oberst paper, What the Painted Figure Says About the Artist. It was interesting, but it was a little kind of out there. I'm just going to say he was over my head. Let's just put it at that. Drake Gomez paper, Nathan Goldstein and the Education of Vision. Unfortunately, I was back in the homeroom at the Face Stage watching Sherry McGraw kill it. And Elliot Boswick Davis presentation, The Place of Figurative Art in the Americas, New Acquisitions at the Museum of Fine Arts, Boston. I heard her talk last track session. They were doing a Jamie Wyeth retro show. She talked, I love the Wyeths, I love the Brandywine Museum, I love the whole family of painters. Jamie's probably one of the he's not my favorite, actually. Andrew's my favorite. But anyway, she did a talk with him, and she is an authority. Her presentation was very promising on the possibilities of contemporary painting, especially realism, being in the museums today, ways to ensure that, sit on boards, decide what's important, that type of thing. I'm gonna pull up my notes and see if I wrote anything that was like helpful. She's a very nice lady. I did talk to her after the presentation and tell her that the Museum of Fine Arts Houston does not have a copyist program. And she said that, what are you talking about? Mr. Titterow is such a nice man. Surely he would allow that. Hello, Mr. Titterow. So I'm gonna write him and see if he will allow some copies. You know, I just believe that if you wanna learn how to paint, you can definitely learn from the past. And making copies is a really great way. If you visit my studio, I have two copies here, one better than the other, that I'm super proud of. I did put because of the yellow scales, which hangs in the Museum of Fine Arts Houston. I did a small size, went in and took a picture in front of it. I think I'd left out a few greens, but otherwise the attitude is there because that dude is badass, all right? He's cool. And, you know, you always learn something by studying. I did a copy of William Bouguereau, which is not successful at all, and I did it a long time ago when I thought, you know, I'm gonna do this because painting is so easy. Said the person who doesn't do it. Anyway, I highly recommend that, and I'm hoping that we may possibly get a copyist program, maybe with the new Glassell School. Okay, I have my notes here, and I maybe wasn't writing when she gave her discussion. I have some adorable sketches here of a man who fell asleep during one of the talks. It's not that it wasn't interesting. I know that it was because it was a really rough schedule. Rough schedule. Yeah. So, I'm not going to find my notes on her. I'll have to get back to that. You know what? I've already talked almost 30 minutes, you guys, and I haven't even gotten through the whole thing. I'm gonna have to cut this super short. Let me just say, Eric Rhodes' presentation, Marketing for Figurative Arts, very informative. I know some of the things he said was put a Google Translate button on your website, because you never know who's looking at your work. They could be in Japan, China, and they need that. And it's quick and it's not hard, apparently. Peter Trippi's presentation, The Challenges of Being an Artist Today. He did talk about Instagram, Facebook, what it means. One of his things he said was, quit putting your unfinished paintings up there. I do that all the time. I put them processed, you know. And he's like, no, you shouldn't do that. So I don't know if that's right or wrong. Maybe it works for you. I can't even begin to tell you the whole part of it. Jacob Collins. Oh my goodness, Jacob Collins, phenomenal painter. Jacob Collins, phenomenal painter based in New York. He actually was in the Museum of Fine Arts here in Houston. He had a painting along with a Silver Street artist. I hope I can attract to be on the podcast, Miss Sarah Lamb. She was in that show, Steel Life. I don't remember the title, Steel Life like today or something. Amazing, just amazing. And so promising that this genre is being shown in our museums in our space city. Very good. And Jacob talked about his presentation title was An Art World in Crisis. Jacob, gosh, I really have to get to my notes, right? But maybe I should study my notes to make it more concise and wrap this up with you guys. Yeah, maybe it'll be part two. Leave me some notes, show notes, if you want me to do that. That'd be cool. And recommend people you'd like me to interview. I am committed to the Sawyer Yards, but I'm ready to expand. I'm going to visit today with a fellow artist, Hagit Barkai. She's going to be the curator for our WOW show in January. Hagit has a beautiful aesthetic and has been teaching in North Carolina, but has returned to Houston. So happy for that. Is also teaching at Art League. And I'm thinking maybe a discussion with her would be very good because she's quite the philosophical-driven painter. George O'Hanlon presented Painting Best Practices. I missed him. He is the guy with Natural Pigments, Rublev paintings, paints made specific to colors of the 19th century. Wonderful mediums. I love the Venetian medium. I missed his talk though. He does do this painting best practices as a workshop, and it's really good. I asked him to come to Houston, but I need someone to sponsor me to get him here. It's pretty expensive. I missed Randall Van Schlippen paper disappearing tentative figural practices because I was watching John Coleman do a demo on the evolving head. This guy was a freaking maniac. He is in the Western American Indian genre. He sculpted a five-year-old's head. I watched him do it, like boom, no time flat, hit a microwave with the clay there. Then I left and went and listened to another paper I'll get to. And he changed it into a young woman. And then I came back and I actually got to see him making the old Sioux chief with the full headdress. Amazing. I'm gonna put the pictures on the website. It actually fell over and he's like, I don't care because I can't sell it because it's gonna be a disaster to ship for someone. So I'm just, you know, gonna recycle it. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, he's amazing. He has, oh, you get to listen to my speaker. He has bronze pieces. Jeez, I mean, I don't know how tall they are, 16 feet or something. He was amazing. I'm sorry to say the same things over and over. Amazing, phenomenal. But truthfully, that's the only words I can think of. A very gracious person as well. Has big handlebar mustache. He was the real deal, you know, real cowboy. And making amazing, beautiful art. Mr. David Molesky, also in New York, did a paper on real photoism. He was concerned that there are either artists or gallerists or someone that are painting on top of photographs and calling them paintings, selling for quite a lot of money. Gave a true story of someone who'd spent 50 grand on artwork that he thought he was buying a painting and it was actually a photograph. He also gave examples of some people, phenomenal artists, that they do that, but there's some transparency and not sort of like a, you know, fooling people situation. It was pretty cool. I missed Miss Aya Zhu's paper, Chinese Face, American Body, Uncovering Images of Masculinity in Late 19th and Mid-20th Century Chinese and American Painting. I hear it was really good, though. She's Mr. Pierce's face. Oh, my neighbor has arrived, and I'm thinking my ends of my podcast is going to be happening. Steven, a sale presentation evolution. This guy kicked ass as well. His last name is spelled A-S-S-A-E-L. I'm not sure. I think he's in upstate New York. I'm not sure about that. I forgot. But just, he's not a youngster, but he's got a long, long history of painting, and he had some really interesting paintings, and he can draw like nobody's business. Oh my God, they were the most beautiful drawings. I took pictures of his slideshow, so I'll be able to put those up on the website too. Stephen Hicks' presentation, The Fight from the Figure and Back, Human Significance in Art. These are some of the notes that I took lots of notes on. He was a phenomenal speaker. Stephen Hicks, I should tell you about his bio, because he's another kick-ass person. But I can't do all that now. We have to have like three parts to this show. This is my Thanksgiving show, so anyway, maybe I'll do holiday shows and talk more about this. One other fellow that I fell in love with was Joseph Bravo. He wrote Skilled Representation, Millism. Skilled Representationalism, the Contemporary Art Canon, and the Dynamics of Institutional Power. He actually sent me his paper. He's in San Antonio, another Texan, and he blew me away, all I can say. And his paper is, I have it. If anyone wants to read it, I can actually pass it on. And maybe I can get him on the show someday, because he said he comes to Houston all the time. And I would love to meet up with Mr. Joseph Bravo. Miss Juliette Aristides of the Gage Academy in Seattle did the fine art of figure drawing demo. Beautiful draftswoman, so good. There was a panel discussion, is this a movement? If so, what now? Moderated by Peter Trippi. Let's see, who was on that? Daniel Gerhardt's. Adrian Stein and Steve Asen. I can't remember. I think he was the other speaker. This is when my sister was bugging me to go out to eat. So I was like, okay. So I went down to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach and had some good crabs there. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, but it's really good. Adrian Stein talked about John Pence Gallery, which is closing in San Francisco, has like a 40-year history. I don't know if they're closing because the guy's retiring, what the deal is, but she said painting selling between in the $4,000 range and in the $30,000 range are selling. In paintings in between the $4,000 $30,000 range are not selling. And that's where she falls, she said. So I was really curious to hear everything. I have a friend who's supposed to send me a critique. Maybe I can make more commentary on it like that, get him to Skype with me. Danny Grant is a artist in Austin, Texas. He has a studio podcast called The Studio. I had proposed to him that we chit-chat about the meeting, because he was there. And maybe that will come too, but otherwise maybe you can tune into The Studio podcast. He's on iTunes already. Hopefully I'll get on iTunes soon. Well, I managed to talk for 40 minutes, and I hope you stay to listen. And I'm sorry, I wanted to have just a brief little thing, but you know, hey, what can I tell you? Again, reminding you to come out on second Saturdays, 12 to 5, Winter Street, Silver Street, The Silos, Summer Street, Spring Street, soon to be Sabine Street. And just pick one building though, like, you know, just enjoy yourself. Go in, have conversations with artists. I'm always ready to talk about my process and what I'm doing. And you'll learn a lot, honestly. If you are an artist and you want to talk about your work, you just give me a buzz. I have a lot of good things coming. I'm definitely committed to getting this podcast off the ground and look forward to my launch party. All right, so have a great day. Thanks for coming into Rhonda's Lounge and listening to Artist of Houston.